I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the MVP Show. My intention is that you listen to the stories of these MVP guests and are inspired to become an MVP and bring value to the world through your skills. If you have not checked it out already, I do a YouTube series called How to Become an MVP. The link is in the show notes. With that, let's get on with the show. Today's guest is from Spain. He works at Aluma Technology Solutions as a senior technical D365 F&O consultant. His first award is MVP in 2023. He is a Spanish software developer working with D365 F&O as a technical consultant and product developer since 2017. He has participated in many projects, both on a national and international level, from a consulting perspective and working in product development. You can find links to his bio, social media, check out his YouTube channel in the show notes for this episode. Welcome to the show, Fernie.
Thank you. And first of all, I want to say it's an honor to participate in your podcast, Mark. I know many great F&O professionals that I truly admire have been also like Martin Drapp, Adrian Ariste, Juanan, and many more. So I have to say it's a privilege for me. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. It's fantastic to, I always love to see new folks coming into the F&O space because it's grown so much, you know, over the years. And I always, you know, from outside looking in, it seems to be a harder journey getting into the F&O side of things. It's a different skill set than if you like getting into the CRM side of things and the Power Platform side of things. So full respect to you operating in this space.
Thank you. Yeah, like AX, like it used to be, it was a very isolated technology. Now everything's coming like closer, all the ecosystem. But yeah, it's still kind of very specific technology. You know? And yeah, but that's good and bad for us. Like whenever you get to know enough, you have a lot of opportunities because there's also a few offer of professionals, but also it's hard to sometimes to learn and new stuff and so on. So yeah, it's kind of it, like it's where life where life brought me. So
yeah, good. Tell us a bit about you as an outsider of the technology space. I've lived for 3 months in Spain. I've been all over Spain. I walked the Camino de Santiago across the top of Spain for 33 days. Then I honeymooned originally in Barcelona. I traveled all up that coast north of into France. And then on the other coast, I've traveled right down to like Gibraltar, spent time in Madrid. I was involved in a thing called Vaughan Town, which is an English language school for Spanish people that are in international business. I did that for a couple of weeks with my wife. So needless to say, we love Spain. I find it amazing. As a country, so diverse and so much variety is available. So where do you come from in Spain? What's your story?
Well, I studied physics in the University of Valencia, and you know it's hard to get that job as a physicist. And like the natural the easy way to go was just find whatever it was available. And that's how I started with the ERP. Like they were hiring freshers from maths, physics, and whatever. So I learned how to program with AX. It's not the common way to do it. And yeah, but once I studied programming, I just fell in love with programming. And I continued with AX. I started in fact with 365 finance and operations with the cloud version of it. One of the first projects in Spain about it. And after that, I had to work also in 2012 and 2009. But mostly my career, that it's been 6 years, I think, it's been mostly in finance and operations. And always working from Valencia. I have worked for Accessor in Madrid, but I refused to move from Valencia. I like Valencia. I like to be close to my people and so on. And now I work for ITS, Illumina Technology. So I work for US. I am the only one that it's in Europe in the company. Yeah. So it's like I never left my home in Valencia, but I got to work with so many different cultures and got to travel so much that I am very grateful for that.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Tell us. I think I know the answer, but what is your favorite food?
My favorite food? Oh, well, I'd say croquetas. I know you were thinking about paella, probably. Yeah, paella is like the typical. I love paella, but yeah, there's so many options here that I couldn't just mention one. Like it's croquetas. You have a lot of jamón, a good jamón serrano I don't know the word, but it's bellota. It's the food that the good pigs or pork meat, yeah, is fed with. Yes, and yeah, we could spend 1 hour talking about food if you want.
So what do you do hobby wise? Are you right on the coast there? Are you right on the mid?
I am like 20 minutes away from the coast, from the beach, but I am not a beach guy. Like,
no, you're a mountains guy?
Kind of, yes. I prefer mountain, yeah. And yeah, I like to do paddle. It's like tennis, but different. And kind of I try to do some sports because being the whole day in the office is not that healthy.
yes. Awesome. So you did a physics degree. You got into, to AX. What type of projects are you typically working on without revealing the names, companies, et cetera, who they are? But do you sit within a specific industry sector that most of your work comes from? What geography more than others? Because you're obviously working remote predominantly. But where do your customers that you're working for ultimately typically sit?
There's so much variety in that. Like, I don't think we have a specific project that it's predominant. Like, I've worked for educational projects, for like retail, logistics, big companies. So I don't know. I don't see any let's say preference or any field that it's predominant. And yeah, like now I am also working not only as an employee, but sometimes doing some works as a freelance also. And I don't know, whatever is available and whatever I think I could contribute and it's a good opportunity, I'm in, you know. So, yeah.
So it's interesting that you mentioned freelance, because just recently I've heard a lot of conversations in the MVP community around freelancing or people moonlighting and, you know, doing other work. And one of the common questions is, how do customers find you for freelance work, or how do you find freelance work? Is there any particular website you use? Is it just word of mouth? What have you found effective in picking up freelance work?
Well, in my case, it was the opposite. Like, first I received the offers, and then I decided to go freelance. I think that our situation in FNO, it's not very common, because there's as I mentioned before, I think there's a lot of opportunities and low offer of professionals, so they are always asking. And just in LinkedIn, I don't have to look for opportunities right now. I hope it's that way many years. But yeah, I don't use any platform, or just opportunities come.
And so are these people mainly reaching out to you via LinkedIn? They'll just private message you and say, hey, we got work. Are they reaching out because they're just reaching out to every F&O consultant? Or are they reaching out because you've spoken at events, you've got your YouTube channel? Where do you think they're hearing about you? Or is it purely they're doing LinkedIn search?
Both. Sometimes it's just a template message, template email that they changed. Luckily, they changed your name. And and other times it's because of some, for example, in my YouTube channel, in my blog, I have talked a lot about electronic reporting. It's a technology that it's very specific, and there's no much around, you know. So that has many opportunities has come because of that, because they needed some electronic reporting expert, and they looked for electronic reporting, and my profile was there. So sometimes it's one thing, and other times, like the work I do for the community also helps. And even when it's just, even when they reach out to me with that template email, once I say, hey, look at my CV, they can see all of the other stuff. So I think it always helps. But it always helps, yes.
So that type of freelance work, where are most of those people coming from that are asking you? Are they mainly in the US? Is it mainly Europe? Is it, you know, south of the equator? What type of, you know, people are you doing work for on that freelance stage?
Europe, basically Europe, because even I work as an employee for a US company. So it's better for me to work as a freelance in Europe. So I don't have overlapping. In fact, the work I do as a freelance is very, very few hours per month. It's just like the opposite of brave. A coward. I am a coward freelancer, because I have my regular job as an employee, and I am not taking risks right now. But yeah, mostly in Europe, so I can coordinate better with my work as an employee for US.
That totally makes sense. Are you working, being that you're working obviously in a different time zone for the US employer, are you working like US hours, or are you working your own and it's offset?
In theory, I work my hours, but if I do that, we only have 3 or 4 hours of overlap.
That overlap.
And when you're in a project, we are now in, for example, in a go live in a project, and I can't do that, basically. So I end up starting a little bit later, just to have more time for those meetings and so on.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And so, I mean, I'm asking you lots of questions around how you work and stuff. And the reason is because a lot of people have these questions in the community. And I also work full time for an employer, but do a lot of freelancing independent of that, and have done for 5 years, you know. And so another question I'm going to ask you, how do you handle kind of your payment system, as in how you get paid? So I'll tell you why. So for me, I used to live in London. When I, you know, I traveled, I moved to London, and I came across a technology there called, they had Revolut. They had, I forget another banking system, but they then got onto Wise. And so I went for everything, and then I closed the other accounts, and I've settled on Wise, and allows me to get paid in US dollars. I also do work in Europe, so therefore I get paid in euros. And then I live in New Zealand at the bottom of the world, so I get paid in New Zealand dollars. So it's kind of like three main currencies. And then some of the other work takes me, I take Australian currency as well. And those would be the main scenarios that I apply. How do you handle bank accounts and things like that in your payment structure?
In my case, I don't need that complex system that you need. Unfortunately, I don't have so many sources of income in different currencies. But yeah, like for my employee work, as they use an intermediate company for that. So I get paid in euros from the US.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, as a freelance, everything I've done is in Europe. So euros, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I always knew that, you know, with intermediary companies and stuff, everybody takes a slice of the action, to do that. And that's why I found Wise, and this is not a plug for Wise, but I found it so amazing because I do a lot of work for Microsoft and Redmond, right? And so they don't want weird bank accounts to other things, right? They want it to be nice and clean. We want your US bank account that we can pay you in USD. The beauty of Wise, anytime I want to start a new currency, I literally go into the app and go, give me, pesos. And as an example, and it will create me an account. Here's my account number. Here's my bank address in that country. Done. And it comes into my app. And only when I spend it do I do the currency conversion. And it's generally lower than any other currency conversion that I can get out there. And so it's not complex. It's actually super simple because it's all just done on an app on my iPhone, right? To do these transactions. And so, it's an European invention. I think it may be even Eastern European invention, but I tell you what, it's been a game changer to be able to work in a global market and just take that kind of the friction out with whoever's employing you, you know, on a short-term contract, for them to think about how are they going to get you the money in when they just want to pay in their local currency, because that's simple for them. And I think it's a simple way of making it possible. When it comes to Dynamics 365 F&O, it's a big product, right? It's really many products in what it can do. Is there a particular area that you specialize in? You mentioned reporting. What else? Is there areas that you are like, okay, I'm a guru in these areas. I will touch these other areas, but they're not my primary, you know, skill set.
Well, my profile is very technical. It's very, very technical. So when you talk about areas, I guess you're referring to like functional models like logistics or so. I'd say I have the basis of each model to be able to make the developments and to make the technical architecture. But I don't have like full knowledge of any of them because of that, because my knowledge is purely technical. And in terms of technical, I think I know enough of everything to do almost everything that's needed, at least for now. And the knowledge now, it's not just like what we need to learn and what we are now working on. It's not anymore in F&O, but in Power Platform, in all of that stuff. That's the real challenge right now. Of course, F&O, it's very big. It's huge. And there's always things that you didn't know, like how actually the database goes and things like that. There's a lot of stuff there. But yeah, I know I didn't answer your question.
No, I think you did, because my understanding of what you said there is that you're doing the hardcore development side of things. And so I assume that you get a specification of what needs to be done that's not available out of the box, and you go in and make that a reality.
Exactly. Usually I work alongside with a functional that can be a finance, logistics, or tax expert, whatever. And he carry out those details, and I just have to find the better way to do it technically, efficient, maintainable, and all that stuff, or integrations, all that stuff. It's basically the work I do. Yeah.
Last question I have for you. How did you become an MVP? What was that journey for you?
Well, it was kind of natural, because I learned from many figures that were very active in the community. So somehow I got contacted. I don't know if that word exists. I think so. From them. And so I started to look at, hey, what if I start sharing? And also I saw it like justice, like, because whenever you are doing whatever you do, sometimes you get up to a point where you don't know how to continue, and you ask, and there's Martin Drab answering your question. So like giving back a portion of all that knowledge that the community have given to me, it was kind of something that I saw good for me. After that, also, like, I started with a blog, with a YouTube channel, and it's kind of addictive a little bit. You start to committing to post regularly, to go to events. And yeah, it started just like, yeah, I want to do it. Kind of, let's see how many months I'll keep with that. I thought I was going to get tired soon, but I continued. I dedicated more and more time, and suddenly it happened. Like I got nominated, but I thought I wasn't going to be elected because I'm young and so on. I don't know, but luckily they accepted it. So yeah, it's a great opportunity, and also it's good to see that Microsoft somehow like gives you like recognition for your work. But it's nothing more than that. Like, it's just a title, and it's okay. But the real engine is the impact you have with people, and the comments of like people giving you, like, thanking you because you helped them with that's the real target or the real goal.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, business application MVP Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 guy. If you like the show and want to be a supporter, check out buymeacoffee.com/NZ365 guide. Thanks again, and see you next time.